Jesus Christ. But I have a, you know, when I was selling, I'm allowed up here. I don't know if I'm allowed back there, but when I was selling real estate, I was a broker in selling real estate. And the first thing they taught us was three words: location, location, location. So this wasn't hard to remember. In real estate, they said, buy the worst house in the best neighborhood and then go tear it down. And that's what we learned in real estate. Buy the worst house in the best neighborhood and then go tear it down. And your value is going to go up because what you put into it is going to be much more what you get back out of it, because you didn't spend a lot of money up front. But how I'm relating this, when I thought about this message, because, you know, total teardown is Jesus has to be allowed in our lives to totally tear us down. The things that don't line up with Jesus has to go. And when I was thinking about this, location, 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 isn't that just like Jesus? He's looking for a location. He's looking for a people. He's looking for a person. He's looking for a church that says, hey, it's okay. I need to be torn down. I need things fixed in my life. I don't want to just add to this house. I want to be able to have a brand new home. And when I was thinking about this, I said, isn't that just like Jesus? He's looking for you and I to raise our hand and say, hey, Jesus, would you do a total teardown of my life? The things that don't line up with you, the things that don't walk with you, and the times and the things that I think of or the things that I do, take it and tear it down. So this message today is going to be about that. And I just thought about that. It's like, isn't that awesome that Jesus looks? He looks for the person. He looks for the church that says, tear me down. Open me up. Do surgery on my life. The reason Jesus Christ came and he died and he rose again, it was not to make bad people good. See, this is what we think of. Oh, Jesus came to make bad people good. No, because you just go bad again. But Jesus came to make dead people alive. Hallelujah. Because we were all dead. Every one of us was dead. And now Jesus comes and says, I'm looking for dead people because I came not to make you good. And that's the thing with the house, you know. Some of the, okay, we're going to make this beautiful house and we're going to do this and do that, and it's going to look pretty. But I know, selling real estate, I walked in a lot of homes that within years, the foundation was crumbling, the roof was leaking, the walls were sagging, the ceiling was coming down. Why? Because it looked pretty on the outside. But Jesus never came and tore it down. And so, you know, this is not a condemnation message. This is a message. Every message that I preach, every message that we teach should always be about Jesus. And it should be an encouragement to you and I to say, Lord, what do I need to do to draw closer to you? What do I need to do to draw closer to you? So let's go to the scriptures and read John 3, 1 through 10. John 3, 1 through 10. Total teardown. We need a total teardown in our lives. And this is going to be an awesome passage that we're going to read. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily. When Jesus says, verily, verily, we need to listen. When Jesus repeats himself, now, like I repeat myself a lot. That doesn't mean you have to listen. But when Jesus repeats himself a lot, I think we need to listen. Except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Oh, okay, that's pretty self-explanatory. That which is born of the flesh wait a minute, let's go back up to verse 3. I skipped. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 3. Verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." We're going to stop at verse 7. So the title of this is spiritual regeneration. When something is generated, it's started. If it's started again, it's regenerated. Regeneration is going from a life that is spiritually dead to a life that is spiritually alive. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Born again, regeneration, it's really the same word. God brings believers to new life from a previous state of separation from God. We were separated from God. We were separated from God. There is no spiritual life apart from the Holy Spirit. We have to know that. You know, sometimes we walk around and we just think, you know, everything, you know, that we can do this on their own. There is no spiritual life apart from the Holy Spirit. We cannot produce it. Only God does through the Holy Spirit. It's through regeneration. Through regeneration. So we're going to discover the power of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit of regeneration. This is why Jesus has this conversation with Nicodemus. I want you to really listen to this. The first point that we see in this story is the title, Total Teardown. Total Teardown is our first point. See, when you read the verse 1, it says Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee, he was a religious leader, he was educated, he was trained in Jewish law and theology, he was influential, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He came with a background that the Jews believed, hey, because of my birth, because of who I am, because I'm a Jew, I have access to heaven. I'm already going to heaven. So you got to see this. Nicodemus, he comes and he thinks just because of his ethnic identity that he has access to heaven. And so this conversation starts off. Nicodemus comes and sees Jesus. He comes at night, probably because he doesn't want to be seen by other rulers and leaders, and maybe he just wants to have this intimate conversation. But he comes with all this. And I want to give you an illustration in what Jesus is talking about here. You know, some of you maybe have built your own homes, and so you take a lot of time and you build this house, and it is your pride and joy. It is like you've measured out every room and you've counted every nail and you've just put this thing together and it's just like it's awesome. You get it all done and it's saying, man, this is it. This is my pride and joy. And then you read about a master builder in the area. He's a craftsman. And you invite him to your home and say, hey, maybe why don't you just look at this house and maybe you could just help me or maybe you could add something to what I have done in this beautiful home. And you're hoping he would say, oh, what a beautiful job, what a great job. Maybe if you just put a deck on here, maybe if you just take down this wall, maybe if you just open up this wall, put a new door here. And the master builder comes in and he looks around at your pride and joy and he looks around and he gets all done and he shakes his head. And he says, this is a total teardown. Can you imagine that happening? This is a total teardown. The master builder comes and he looks and says, he shakes his head and says, no, this has to be totally torn down. But then you say, I put my life into this. I put my life into this. How can you tell me I have to tear all this down? But this is what's happening here with Nicodemus. He comes with all his education. He comes with all his influence. He comes as a Jewish ruler. He comes with all his education. He comes with all his diplomas. And really what he's coming to Jesus for is, hey, Jesus, we heard about your signs. We've seen your miracles. Hey, Jesus, what do you think you could add to my life? That's what Nicodemus is asking. Hey, he comes with all these credentials. And he says, hey, Jesus, we've seen it all. What can you add to me? Think about that. This trusted, successful Jewish ruler, religious leader, highly educated. And Jesus says, you have come to me thinking I'm going to add something to your life. Isn't that how we are sometimes as people? Hey, Jesus, I've got it all together, but I'm just missing one thing. And I heard about you. I heard about your miracles. I heard about your signs. I heard about who you are. Hey, you think you could just add maybe a little bit of you to me? Now, you'd probably shake your head and go, oh, that's not me. I would never think of that. I would never say that. But here is the story of Nicodemus, who has it all, and he comes to Jesus, and the first thing Jesus says to him is, be born again. It's like, what? Born again? I have everything. I'm going to heaven because I'm a Jew. I've got education. I'm a ruler. I'm a leader. I have influence. See, we think because of our success, we think because of our money and our education, we think that we have all these things, that everything's going fine, that we can just add a little Jesus to what we need. And so this story is a great story of Nicodemus. And he says, Jesus said, Nicodemus, your whole life needs to be torn down. And that's the first point. That's what I want us to look at. And here, listen to this. Nicodemus was so far away from the kingdom of God. Think about this. He comes in with all his credentials, and he just wants to talk to Jesus. And the first thing Jesus says is, total teardown. You need to be born again. Wow. Think about where you are in your life. Nicodemus, you are nowhere near the kingdom of God. Isn't this funny how Jesus doesn't say this to a tax collector? He doesn't say this to a prostitute. He doesn't say this to the thief on the cross. He says it to the religious leader who thinks he has everything. And Jesus says, you need to be born again. He says it to the man at his best. Sometimes we can think we have it all together. And we just say, Lord, I just need a little bit of you. Because I have it all together. I got 90% of my life all together, Lord. Lord, can you just add a little? Maybe 10%, 15%. And I like it how Jesus, he says it to the man who has it all. You need to be born again. You need to be regenerated. Hallelujah. You need a new life. You are dead, and I've come to give you life. Tear down. The first thing, tear down. Jesus will not add to what you have. Jesus has to become your life. Your life has to be Jesus. And so how does this work? You say, Pastor Tom, how does this work? Titus 3:4-5. Titus 3:4-5 says, but when the kindness, I want you to hear this, the kindness and the love of God, of our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Here it is. It's not anything that you have done that Jesus has drawn to you, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. With total teardown, we will receive the second point, spiritual sight. You don't have spiritual sight unless you're regenerated. You can't see Jesus unless you're regenerated. And that only comes through the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, knowing that, hey, Jesus isn't going to just give me 10%. Jesus isn't going to give you 15%. Jesus isn't going to add to your fleshly life. Jesus has to be number one. He has to be number one. And the second point is we get spiritual sight. We can see. Nicodemus wanted to talk to him about his teachings and his signs. Lord, just tell us a little bit more. Just add to. Jesus says, the only thing you need to know is unless, or the word expect in the King James, unless or expect you are born again, you can't see the kingdom. Wow. See, we just think that we have been so, I want you to hear me, we've been so like, sometimes we have to go back to basics and understand The word accept or unless, this is what it means. It, what follows those words are non-negotiable. What follows the word unless, anything that follows that is non-negotiable. Unless you are born again. There's no negotiating that. Oh, can I be half born again? Can I, you know, what do I have to do? Can I just do a lot of good works? No, unless you are born again. You don't see the kingdom. You don't see the kingdom. That word born again means, born means of God, making us children through faith in Christ. And again means from above, from heaven. So unless you have a transforming experience with Jesus Christ from above, you don't have regeneration. It's not good works. It's not being good. It's not just, I pay my dues, I come and serve at Calvary, and I give a lot of money at Calvary, or I give my dollar at Calvary. You can do all those things, and we need to, but that doesn't save you. Only through the washing and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, through the blood of Christ who has shed his blood for you and I. Are you willing to be totally tore down? Because when you do, then you have spiritual sight. You can see the kingdom, he says. Do you know what the kingdom is? I looked this up because there's a lot of people wonder, what does he mean by the kingdom of God? The kingdom literally means royal power, kingship, dominion, rule. It's not to be confused with the actual kingdom, but rather the right or authority to rule over a kingdom. That's what kingdom means. So you can see the what? The kingdom of God. You can see Jesus. Unless he's ruling in your life, unless he's the king of your life, you are not going to see the kingdom of God. Oh, Pastor Tom, but that, I've been doing, you know, really good things, and I'm okay, I'm good. He didn't come to make bad people good. He came because we were dead, and he wants to make you alive. Hallelujah. He wants to make you and I alive. Praise God. So unless you are born again, you can't see it. Jesus does the same today. The most important thing is, are you truly born again? Did you make that decision to say, you will be king and ruler and have authority of my life? That's born again. So today maybe we're going to question. Not doubt. We're not doubting if you're born again. Let's question it to yourself and say, did I really make that decision to have him be ruler and king of my life? Because then I get to see the kingdom of God. I get to see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Where there is no spiritual regeneration, there is blindness. Think about it. If we are regenerated and then we have spiritual sight, without being born again, you don't have spiritual sight. You are blinded. And that's what the world is doing. They're walking around, they're blinded because they have not received the regeneration. They have not made that decision to say, Lord, you be ruler of my life. So here's three questions I want you to think about. Ask yourself, are you a Nicodemus? There may be people here that's never receive Jesus in their life. Are you a Nicodemus who say, Lord, just add a few things. Come on, just add a few things. I need something today and I need something in the next years to come. But, you know, I'm not sure if I'm really going to give you everything, but I have it all. But what I don't have, maybe you can just give me a little. Or you have experienced the total teardown as a believer. You know, maybe you have. The total teardown, allowing God to completely tear down the things in your life, bring you from death to life. Or have you added to Jesus over the years? You know, you had a total teardown and you were born again and you're walking with God, but have we added some rooms to the house of God? Have we added a few rooms that don't belong there? So today I want you to think about that. If you've added a few rooms, allow Jesus to tear those down. Allow the Holy Spirit to come in and tear those down. There's a song that we sing, and the author wrote, it is so plainly, we sing it all the time. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. Total teardown. Amazing grace. Lord, we receive your grace. Now my eyes have been opened. Regeneration, we get to see the kingdom of God, the love of God, the experience his peace, his grace, his mercy, his faithfulness, his goodness. When the power of regeneration comes, everything changes. Everything changes when you're born again. Sight begins, hearing begins, our ears are open. When we see our sin for what it is, we come running to the Savior. That's where life begins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And a third point is, we receive spiritual life. Spiritual life. Let's read 4, 5, and 6. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Jesus wasn't talking about the natural birth. He was talking about spiritual birth. And I want you to catch this. This is really going to help you understand. This verse is very controversial. People have tried to figure this out, you know, and as I studied this and read commentaries and really just looked at it, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Okay, so verse 5. That, except a man be born of water and of spirit. Of water and of spirit. That doesn't mean a natural birth, because we're all born natural. Why wouldn't Jesus just say, hey, you just need a spiritual rebirth? Why does he say water? So we're all born natural. It's a natural birth. He's not talking about water baptism, because water baptism only reflects the new birth. It doesn't cause new birth. Think about it. Water baptism is not a prerequisite to be saved, right? You receive Christ, and Christ commands us to be water baptized. We're not baptized to be saved. We've already received Jesus, right? So what is he saying when you must be born of water? Jesus was speaking of the blessings of the Bible, the cleansing and the new creation. See, Jesus washes us and makes us new. Ezekiel 36 answers this question. I want you to catch this, because this is what we need to understand. Ezekiel 36, 24 through 27. I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. He's talking about Israel. And here it is. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put what? A new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put what? My spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So, you know, here, this is what, and Nicodemus should have known this, because he had the Old Testament. He's a ruler. He's a Jewish ruler. He was educated. He should have known this. He's not talking about water baptism. Water baptism they weren't even doing that at the time, right? It was after Jesus, after the cross. So here's Nicodemus. He goes, oh, he comes to clean us, Jesus does, and put a new spirit in us. I want you to catch this, because if he just came to forgive you, and you don't have a new creation, and you don't have a new spirit, then you're just going to go back and go sin again. So forgiveness, I forgive you, but where's the new creation? Where's the new spirit? And Jesus says, I'm going to put a new spirit in you. So it's not just forgiveness. You need both forgiveness and a new creation that is done by the Holy Spirit. Born of flesh is flesh. Born of spirit is spirit. John 6:63. Explains this. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So we need the forgiveness. We need the cross. We can't do it without the cross. God has forgiven us. He shed his blood on that cross. He has offered us eternity with him when we receive that. But then we have to also say, hey, I need the Holy Spirit to walk this thing out. So that's what he says. You need to be born of water, because I need to cleanse you, right, Ezekiel? And then you need to be regenerated with the Holy Spirit so you can walk this Christian life out. So many people just like disregard the Holy Spirit because it's too mystical. I don't know enough about it. We can't do it without him, the Holy Spirit. So this really helps, you know, us to see it. The problem with the world right now is so many are obsessed with the temporal things, the flesh, not enough of the eternal things, the soul. We're just worried about the flesh all the time until we see that we have to be ruled by the Spirit of God. And this is how it's gonna. This is how it happens. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. And old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. So spiritual life, it happens through the Holy Spirit giving us a new birth. And then we become a child of God. John 1, 12 through 13. But as many has received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Oh, I love this. To those who believe in his name, not for those who do good works, for those who try to be good, for those who pay their tithe and offering, for those who serve, no, for those who have received Jesus, who were born not of blood, nor of will of flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. Hallelujah. Not by physical birth, not by ethnic descent, not by human effort, but born again by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ. Are you born again, regenerated by the Holy Spirit? Regeneration comes and I receive the right to be adopted into God's family. Hallelujah. If you cannot be adopted into God's family unless you're born again. You can't. But when regeneration occurs, adoption must follow. So when you're born again, you're regenerated, you are adopted into the family of God. See, we don't understand it. We don't receive it. We try to wait. We receive it. We say, okay, God, I know I was a sinner. I was saved by grace. I receive what you've done. I receive you forgiving my sins. And then we still try to be good enough for God to love us. Come on, let's be truthful. I was there. Lord, I receive it. I understand it. Thank you, Jesus. I can live in eternity with you. And then I struggle every day to try to be really good for God so he'll love me. And maybe really forgive me. Or no, that's not what Jesus says. That's not what Jesus says. Here's an illustration. We have to catch it because I grew up that way, man. I grew up, you know, I always said it. Schizophrenic Christian, bipolar Christian. I'm in heaven today, I'm in hell tomorrow. I'm in heaven today, I'm in hell. I'm trying to be good and I can't do it all the time. And God, where am I? And he says, you are my child. You are my child. You are my child. We have to get this, church, because we'll still not understand that we are walking in the fullness of Christ when you've been regenerated. I'm not waiting to try to be perfect. I'm just walking with Jesus. Hallelujah. As parents, everything we have, right, our children has access to, right? Do you, hopefully you don't, so I don't raise your hand, but if your child has been bad maybe for the last 2 days or the last week, like, do you turn the heat off on them? Well, I would put the heat on for you, but you weren't good enough this week. Oh, you want to eat? Let's look. How are your grades in school? Did you behave? Did you make your bed? Did you take out the garbage when I asked you to? Oh, you get to have dinner. Can you imagine? We don't treat our kids that way. I mean, hopefully you don't. But God would never treat us this way. Why? Because we're adopted into his family. We're adopted into his family. Wouldn't it be sad? And maybe this has happened. Your children come to you and say, or think, man, I haven't been good enough, so I'm not going to go ask my dad or my mom for, you know, some money to go get a pizza. I'm going to go ask my uncle. I'm going to go ask my aunt. I'm going to go ask someone else because I'm afraid to go to mom and dad. But if you think about it, you say, oh, Pastor Tom, that's silly. That would never happen. How many times have we done that looking at God? God, would you, do you have it in your heart enough? I know I messed up a little bit this week and, you know, I yelled at the kids and it wasn't nice to my wife, but, you know, I need a healing. You think you could just maybe heal me a little? Because I know I don't deserve it all. Come on. It sounds funny, but how many of us have done that? You don't have to raise your hand. I will. And we have to catch this, church, because regeneration is not hoping God will do something for me. Regeneration is that I get to receive all the promises that he has made for me. That's regeneration. That's being born again. Come on, church, we have to catch this. Nicodemus thought he was going, saying, just give me a little, just add a little to what I have. We have access to everything Jesus has access to, right? He does. We do. As a child of God, we don't have to beg or try to be good enough to receive the promises of God. We are good and we love God and we walk with God because he is awesome. I don't do it to get something. I do it because I love God. He's awesome. He's awesome. He's awesome. If you feel you have to be good to receive the promise, that's not scripturally based. That's not in the Bible. When you're regenerated and you're walking with Jesus, he's going to pour his all these promises are for you and I all the time. We just have to go after them. We have to believe it. We have to receive it. We have to walk it by faith. It's a faith journey. It's not that I get up every morning and say, okay, God, okay, you have all these promises. No, it is a faith journey. It is a walk. It's a progression. It's a progression. We're sanctified. That word only means set apart. But it's a process. Every day we have to know, hey, I'm set apart. I don't do this because I'm set apart. I don't do this because I'm set apart. I don't do this because I'm righteous in Christ, not by my righteousness. I don't do this because I'm holy, not because I'm holy of anything I've done, because Jesus is holy. And so we walk it out by faith. We walk it out by faith. Can I have the worship team to come up? And can you do that? It's he? Is it he? Or I get my titles kind of all messed up. But and we're going to close with this, but I want you to listen. Play very, very softly, and then we're going to sing the song after I'm done. So I really want you to, hopefully you're catching this Holy Spirit person. I almost was ready to say this Holy Spirit thing. It's not a thing. It's not a force. It's not an it. It's a person. It's a person. It's a person. Without being... We don't add a little bit of Jesus. It's Jesus plus nothing equals Jesus. Born again is regenerated. He came for what was dead to bring life. Hallelujah. We get to see the kingdom. Play very softly. I want you to hear this. The ultimate teardown in Scripture is what Jesus endured on the cross. That's the ultimate teardown. Think about it. The ultimate teardown is what Jesus endured on the cross. Jesus was torn down. He was stripped of his dignity. He appeared powerless. Why? Because he saw the kingdom of God. Out of obedience, he rose from the grave and entered the kingdom of God. Because he was torn down, he saw the kingdom and he entered the kingdom. Jesus went through this. Jesus isn't asking us to do something that he didn't do. The ultimate, you can't go any more ultimate in Scripture than the cross that Jesus hung on. He was torn down. Why? Because he saw the kingdom of God. He entered the kingdom of God. He experienced it for you and I. That's why he did it. For you and I, he experienced that. Now, when we allow God to do the total teardown, we can see and enter the kingdom because we have been regenerated. Total teardown. Total teardown. He experienced it for you and I. Think about it. Oh, Pastor Tom, I don't know if I can. No. If Jesus can, in human form, you can. We can. Will we allow him? Will we allow him? Because he did all that not for himself. He didn't have to prove anything. He did it for you and I. This is so important. This is so important. He did it for you and I. Total teardown. Philippians 2, 6 through 11. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Come on, church. Listen to this. This isn't just about Jesus. This is about you and I. Jesus was just the example. Even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly, I love this, highly, why? Of his obedience. Why? Of his servanthood. Why? Because he didn't think of it being equal with God. Hallelujah. God has exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Come on. We can't make it unless we understand the Holy Spirit, what he's doing in your life. It's not Jesus plus a few things. That every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead can now live in you if you know him and if you're born again. Unless. Come on, let's stand. We're going to close with this song. Unless you are born again, regenerated, torn down, we can't see and we can't live it. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if you know him, he lives inside of you. Hallelujah. You're regenerated. You are regenerated. You are born again. You get to see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song. Let's just worship him this morning. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, I want to open up the altars. I want to open up the altars. There's three Nicodemuses. The one Nicodemus didn't know that he needed to be born again. And the other one is, you know, who are you that I was born again, but through my life I added a couple houses, rooms that need to be torn down. Or maybe you're good. I know I'm born again and I haven't added things and you're doing good and that's good. But, you know, as they continue just to worship, let's just take a few minutes. Examine yourself and say, hey, and I want to leave the altars open just to pray with people because this is serious stuff. We can't just be coming to church and saying, I'm doing my thing. You know, I did my obligation. I've been coming here for 20, 30 years. Or maybe coming here for a year. I'm doing my obligation. Hey, there's no obligation to this. It's either you're born again or you're not. Period. Come on. The times are getting bad. Times are getting worse. They've always been, you know, rough times. But we really need to understand, hey, wow, I didn't know that I wasn't born again. And that's okay, because that's why Jesus came. He came to give you life. All of us. But also, you may be that person that say, I built a few rooms onto this house that just don't need to be there. And I want to just drop them at the altar. And I just want to open up the altar. Come on. I just really wish people would just think about it and just come to the altar. I just want to pray with you. Nothing lengthy, long. Just say, hey, because it doesn't matter who comes, because we don't know where. If you've added rooms or you don't know Jesus or you just want to come up here and just have the presence of God just continue to work in your life. This isn't for show. This isn't to see who's good and who's bad. This is to say, I just want more of Jesus. I want to be able to live my life understanding that I can't add rooms. So the altar is open. And if you need to be dismissed, please go quietly. Go downstairs, have fellowship, that's fine. But I'm just encouraging our church because God's doing great things and we really need to get our act together and just say, God, I need you. I need you to help me walk through some things. So you are dismissed if you need to go. But the altar is open. Even if you come down and just lay it down. I just feel like people need to just get their hands and say, I'm letting go. I'm letting go. I'm letting go. I'm letting go of all the problems and trials and tribulations, the things that have been bothering me. I'm trying to struggle through some things. So just come and let it go. I just encourage you to walk up to the altar and just say, or just do, I let it go and go back. God's going to honor that. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Come on, church. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We need you, Father. Regenerate us through your Holy Spirit, Lord. Through your Holy Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you. Don't leave the altar. If you're here, just stay here. If more people want to come, Lord, we just thank you for your word that you gave us. Regeneration. But only you can tear down. We can't. We can't. Flesh is flesh. But if we allow the Spirit to do it, it will be torn down and it won't be rebuilt. Thank you for your word. Thank you for our people. Lord, thank you, Father, that we get to see you, that you rule and reign in our lives, and we get to enter a relationship with you, hallelujah, in a more intimate way than we ever have. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. New creations. Adoption follows regeneration. You are adopted into the family of God. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. God, thank you for this time. You're opening up hearts like you never have before. Season of doors and favor given to Calvary Gospel. Because we're willing to raise our hand and say, Lord, it's okay. You can tear down the things that don't belong to you, that don't line up with you. You can tear them down. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. You may be dismissed, but if you want, you can come up and just still pray. And if you want us to pray for you, you can.